Within statistical tool of descriptive analysis, we talked about measures of central tendency, measures of dispersion or measures of variability. We will talk about one more type of measure, which is known as measure of probability. Now the concept of measure of probability comes via the concept of sample and population. Let me quickly summarize what population and sample mean before actually jumping onto the topic. So what exactly happens is we have a huge population of the data, and when we analyze something, we take a component of it and we analyze it and then generalize the result to the population. The reason we do this is it becomes extremely difficult to collect the data point with respect to the whole population and take the inferences. To give you one example, let's suppose we want to understand that what percent of the people actually take ration from the government. Okay, in that scenario, what we can do is we can take the data of whole population of India and then take the data that whether they take ration or not, tick it, and then analyze that this is what percentage of the population is taking ration. Now the problem is we have 130 crore population, and because of this, what will happen is by the time you will finish collecting the data will change completely, and it will take huge amount of time and efforts and money to collect that vast amount of data. So what we usually do is we take a sample of the Indian population, and then basis that we analyze that out of this sample, this percentage takes ration, and basis that if from this sample 10% of the people are taking ration, our whole population will be taking it in the similar way with some level of correctness or some level of variations. So approximately it will be considered that 10% of the population take ration. Now here, when you are analyzing, you know that your results will not be 100% accurate, but how much accuracy you need to maintain. So that level of accuracy is known as degree of confidence, by which you should be accurate, then only you will accept the result, and these comes under measures of probability. In general scenarios, we go for either 95% confidence interval or 99% confidence interval. If our data point is less, we go for 99, otherwise we go for 95. And if many people get confused that whether I should take 95 or 99, if in case you are confused, then go for 95. It is applicable almost everywhere. In order to choose the right descriptive statistical tool, you need to consider the type and the number of variable available, as well as the objective of the analysis, because then only you will be able to understand that which tool which will give me right answers. Based on these three criteria, the grid can be generated that will help you decide which tool to use according to the situation. The first column of the grid should refer to the data types, which could be quantitative, qualitative, or mixed. Quantitative basically means the quantities of the data that you have, or basically you can say the numeric information that you have. Qualitative, which basically means the character format of the data that you have, and the mixed, which basically means you contain both type of data. The examples of descriptive analytics could be you are summarizing the Facebook tweets, and you are just summarizing the followers behavior, or what type of followers you have, or what geography contributes to which channel of the YouTube, and you might be reporting the general trends like this much percent of the people travel to these places, these many percentage of the people actually ordered biryani on Zomato, and these are the type of data point which are directly available. So every modern business needs to build its data analytics framework, and basis that framework, they will be identifying what they need to describe or what they need to understand on an everyday basis. To give you example in a more detailed way, let me give you one example of a live case studies or a live scenarios from the retail background. So when you are doing a retail background, there will be few KPIs that you will be noticing and you will be identifying. Now your descriptive analysis will give you an behavior that what exactly is happening with the business. To give you one example, let's suppose you projected the growth of 2% in customer shopping with you. Now, 2% of the customers are shopping with you. Now, there could be certain situation when you don't have people coming from different places. Now, you might need to understand that if you have a store, how far from the store your customer stays. Your customer might be staying within 0 to 2 kilometer of the store. Your customer might be staying between 5 to 6 kilometers of the store. So if you describe a grid wherein you have a slab of 0 to 2 kilometer, 2 to 4 kilometer, 4 to 6 kilometer, and the number of members shopping within this range, you will be able to understand that how far my customer is ready to travel to my store, and then only I can decide my strategies and how those strategies will be driven. Let's suppose I see that till 6 kilometer my customer is ready to come, and beyond 6 number percentage reduces. So if I see a geography which is a highly profitable geography, but I don't have a store within the range, within the 6 kilometer range, I might be deciding that I should open a store within this area so that the distance between becomes less, I become better than the competitor, and my customer actually come to the store, and I am able to gain more customers out of the geography where I have opened a new store. So such things can be easily understood when you have a description of the data available with the correct KPIs and in the proper format. It will help you take the decisions quickly. Few more examples of descriptive analytics is being used in various field of learning analytics, like tracking course enrollments, what percentage of enrollments are happening, what is the course compliance rates, and what are the recording sessions, how often people come and visits your website to learn a course, what is the different distribution of the type of students that you have, what is the age group of the students, and what type of courses they are preferring, what is the field of learning that they are preferring to go for, what are the options they are looking for, whether they are looking for a short term course or a bigger term course. And all these things can be tracked when you have a proper dashboard and you do create a descriptive analytics framework wherein you can track that what type of people you are having on your website to learn. We were discussing a case where descriptive analytics can be used or applied, and that was learning analytics. We discussed that in learning analytics we can track down that what are the number of enrollment that are happening with respect to the course, what are the type of students that we have, what type of the course they are looking for, what is the field of study they are looking for. Similarly, we can use the descriptive analytics to identify much more things, like what is the status of the assignments with respect to every student, what are the grades they are attaining, what percentage of the people are getting higher grades, what is the difference between pre-test and post-test assessments, whether they have improved their performance or not, what is their completion rate with respect to every course, and whether they are liking the courses or not. You can take the survey and then you can summarize it, and you can take the feedback with respect to the length of the courses as well, because it will give you a basic glimpse that how good or bad the length of the course is. And these all will be summarized and populated on the dashboard so that you can easily identify whether you're going in a right direction or a wrong direction. We discussed about the descriptive analytics and the various aspects of the descriptive analytics. Before finishing the topic, we should discuss few of the important concepts of the topic. And one of the important concept is the advantages and disadvantages. So let's quickly go through the advantages of descriptive analytics. The first advantage is it is quick and easily report, and it can be a good return on investment because it gives you a correct picture, it gives you a direct picture, it gives you a basic glimpse of what exactly is happening with the business. You are easy to identify the gap and performance issues with respect to your business when you have the descriptive analytics in place. You can identify a particular type of customer that is coming to your store or the particular type of student that is coming to your website. You can identify the successful learners and unsuccessful learners, and the difference between the two when you have an educational website and your student comes onto your website. You can analyze the value and the impact of every action that you perform. Basis these advantages, and you might have understood that this descriptive analytics is an extremely, extremely useful and very, very effective component of analytics, and can give a very accurate and a more measurable picture of the business. But does it really help to understand this, that how it can transform the business, how it can change the business? We will take up a case study wherein descriptive analytics played a major role, and we are talking about a case study from a very popular company which everybody would know about. It is Coca-Cola company. So Coca-Cola company had introduced analytics and had introduced analytics in its one of the functioning components, where they improvised drastically, where they improvised on the action making, where they improvised on the decision making, and it really helped them in improvising the structures and improvising the performances. So we are going to cover a case study related to a very major company known as Coca-Cola company, and we will see how descriptive analytics helped in one of the major functioning component of Coca-Cola. So we are talking about a 2010 time period wherein Coca-Cola had just introduced analytics in its functioning or basic functioning components, and we are talking about HR over here. So many people thought that analytics could only be used in sales, identifying the sales or identifying the business opportunities. And now everybody has realized that it's not the sales only, it's the various component where analytics can play a major role, and that is where human resource comes into the picture as well. Human resource is one of the component where now analytics has played a major role, because they are helping in various ways. By doing HR analytics, now companies can identify the correct workforce, can identify the correct work alignments, can identify the right awarding techniques, can identify the pipelines of the businesses and the work assignments, and so on. So we will be discussing about the case study related to Coca-Cola company. So HR analytics journey within Coca-Cola restarted in 2010. Given the complexity of Coca-Cola, which we call as a CCE, its global footprints and various business units, a team was needed which was able to provide a centralized HR reporting and analytics service to the business. This led to the formation of a HR analytics team serving 8 countries. And as you all know, that Coca-Cola is a very, very huge company. It has a huge footprints, and the team that was established had to take care of this thing, that it's a big company and the assignment will be similar in nature. As a new team, they had the opportunity to work closely with the HR function to understand their needs and build a team not only capable of delivering those requirements but also challenge the status quo. When the case study that we are discussing about, we are talking about a HR analytics component that was introduced in Coca-Cola in 2010. So it was a very early in the transformation program, and reporting was transitioned from North America unit of Coca-Cola to Europe. At that point, they did not had any huge suite of report and there were limited structure in place. They could have only limited availability of the data and limited scorecards to identify how things are happening. They had a limited workforce, and because most of the things were manual, everybody was just pulling out the data and then creating the report, the amount of report that has to be seen was limited. The amount of information that could be seen by the business stakeholder was limited. The first step was to establish a strong foundation for the new data analytics program, because then only they could transform something in HR function over there. It was imperative to get basic right at that moment of time, because if in case you start something and you don't start it correctly, everything goes haywire. And the objective was to enhance the credibility and to automate as many things as possible, because everybody knows that when something is automated, the automation will take away load of time, load of execution time, load of operational time, load of man hours, and ultimately business stakeholders will be able to see the data very quickly in a very less span of time and ultimately it will improvise the decision making process. The sheer number of requests the team received was preventing them from adding value and providing more sophisticated report, because as we discussed that it was a manual task till that point. Till 2010, everything was manual. People were pulling out the data and they were creating the report. Such activities, such things actually has a limitation, because everybody can't work on a multiple systems, can pull up multiple data point and can create multiple report all at once. While when it is automated, all these things can happen parallelly and in a very less span of time. So what CCE or Coca-Cola initiated is, they initiated a project to reduce the volume of scheduled report sent to customers, which enabled them to decrease the hours per month taken to run the report by 70%. And it's huge. 70% reduction is a huge reduction. This was a game changer for them. Many of the remaining basic low value reports were then automated, because if they are automated, people don't have to go there and create those reports, because they are wasting their time. And they are static reports. It doesn't contain any dynamic information. Same format, same thing, same information. If a man will do, he might get bored, and ultimately he will not be able to give you those things appropriately if he doesn't have a motivation for them. So that is again a factor as well. So automating such report is a very, very wise method, because then only the companies can improvise, and then only, and this is how CCE got help, because they saved 70% of the time and they automated such reports. So all the automated which allowed the team to move forward in their journey and look more at the effectiveness of HR functions. So now the team had time to give more effective solutions, because they were not creating those dull reports every day. They had more time, they knew about the business, they knew about the HR function in their company, and they could yield more, they could contribute more, they could create more affectionate information out of those. The analytics team was soon able to focus more on value-adding services, value-adding analytics. So people say that this is dashboard and this is the job of analytics, and this is the insight and this is again the job of analytics. But what happens in a usual scenario is, when people are building those reports, they don't get enough time to generate the insights or create those insights. And that is what the biggest barrier of an analytics team. So when these reports were automated, they had more time for insight driven things, the value adding driven things, the information driven things. And that is was what the advantage of those automation happened. The team soon found that the more they provided reports, the more internal recognition they received. So this thing gave them an motivation that now we are getting more recognition. Earlier we were creating reports day in, day out, and we were not getting out of it. Nobody was recognizing our efforts. We were doing the things for 8 to 10 hours every day. But now we are giving such information which is adding the value to the business, and ultimately we are getting recognition for the same. So it proved to be a motivation for the company's workforce, for the analytics team precisely, that they realized that this is a more effective way to work. This ultimately created a thirst within HR for more data and metrics for measuring the performance of organization from a HR perspective, because HR was also getting a value added information. So they felt that more information can be fetched out of the same team. More insights can be driven by the same team. The HR analytic function knew that this was an important next step, but it wasn't where they wanted the journey to end. They just felt that it's just the beginning of the journey. They looked for the technology that would allow them to automate as many of these matrices as possible, because if these things are automated, the analytics team will be able to deliver better information, will be able to deliver more profound information. So how they started? There were various things, like the thirst for HR analytics grew, and standardizing and reporting towards a basic scorecard happened, because there was a need for this thing. A breakthrough and the next key milestone in the journey of Coca-Cola was that they invested in out-of-box system. which provided them with the standard matrices and measures and enabled quick and simple descriptive analytics, because now this was not man driven, this was machine driven, this was automated, this was less time consuming. Instead of building a new set of standard from scratch, CC piloted pre-existing measures, because they had already kept those things in place and they could use it directly within the application and applied these in their data. The result was that the capability to deliver more sophisticated descriptive analytics was realized quicker, and it began delivering results sooner than what they had expected. They were able to segment tasks based on the skill set of the team now. They created a natural talent development pipeline and ensured the right skill set was dedicated to the appropriate task. Because if in case I am a particular type of a person, I enjoy doing a particular type of activity, I enjoy doing particular type of work, and I get a totally boring type of work which I don't enjoy, and I don't have a capability to do that type of task, then I will start feeling irritated with my workforce. So when analysis was being performed now, the analytics team had more time to create such insights. They realized that creating such pipelines will introduce a better mechanism, a better assignments of the work, and people will be more motivated towards the work. So right skill and right work was the motto during that time. They freed up time for some of the team to focus on the workforce analytics now. They implemented a solution that combines data from various sources, whether it is HR system, the case management system of the service center, or onboarding recruiting tools, and they brought all the data to a central server and developed a lot of ratios and measures to identify what took it to the next level, what can be better, what can be worst, and how they can improvise, because they had various data points now and they could compare everything with each other. If my employees are getting recruited at a particular time, this information I got from the recruitment tool, and the time taken by them in onboarding, this is onboarding information. The complaint that they registered, this is captured from the service center information. Now the people who are older, they give more complaint. This relationship, such type of relationships can easily be identified, and by this they would be able to understand that if an employee is spending more time, he is getting irritated, he is getting less satisfied with respect to the work that they are doing. So such information could be identified, because now analytics team could focus more on the work rather than on the data. As with major transformation, the evolution and transactional to more advanced reporting took time, resources and commitment from the business, and there were many challenges to come for the team, and they overcame those challenges. During this journey, there were a lot of lessons. With the workforce analytics implementation, they probably underestimated the resource and the time needed to do a certain work. Sometimes less is more, and they provided too many matrices at first, which kind of create confusion to the business. So they also need to keep a check on the amount of matrices they are giving to the business. So as an example, if I'm saying that these many people join, this is the average ratio of the dropout, this is the average promotion time, this is the satisfaction ratio, if I'm giving too much information to the business stakeholder, they will ultimately be confused that what should we do, what decision should we take. So we should give the output in a timely manner. That is what a kind of a challenge that CC was also facing, but they were realizing it faster. They were realizing that that they have given too much of the matrices. They also need to control those matrices and should only give those things which are driven, business driven, and are the need of the hour. So with the standards in place, CC then turned to establishing a basic scorecard approach. Now everything was established. Now they wanted to create a scorecard to compare everything and to illustrate the data. Scorecards are a common instrument used by many organizations to provide an overview of the performance of a function. Typically, they consist of clear targets illustrated in dashboard fashion and are utilized by senior management to guide their leadership to the organization, because they are able to compare that this component have this score, If it, this score is low, that means, that basically means that this particular component need a immediate action. The leader team's familiarity with the scorecard methodology meant that the analytics team could simply fit into standard reporting process, because they could not, they didn't need to change anything. They just need to automate the things, and leadership is already aware of the component that are being shown, and they can quickly take decision. Ultimately, it has saved their time and they're still getting the similar type of output. But for the CC to create its HR dashboard, it was apparent that a clear purpose and objective for the analytics was needed. Because if they don't give an objective to the analytics team, analytics team will be completely confused at what should they look for. What are the things that they should analyze? What are the things that should be delivered? And that the development of future scoreco should be as automated as possible. That was the objective of analytics. So when you're setting up an objective, analytics team will finish that objective. And if in case the objective will be final outcome in form of dashboard or a scorecard in form of dashboard, the dashboard should be automated. The pipeline should be created by the analytics team, so that data should be fetched here, should be analyzed in this way and should be resulted in this way. That was the basic scenario or the output. At CC, it's clear that HR analytics insights and combining HR and business data is an illustration of what value that HR can add to the business. Because HR these days are a very, very important component of any organization. If they can understand their workforce better, if in case they can create a motivated environment, it automatically improves the profitability of the company, because people keep more focused towards the work that they are doing. So CC has developed a partnership approach which demonstrates the power with that high quality analytics can deliver, because analytics has the capability. Now they can fetch more output as and when required, and its value as a springboard to more effective HR practices in the organization. By acting in a consultative approach, or when they're proving to be consultant to the HR function, they're able to give a better understanding of effective delivering of the objectives. So HR ensures both parties within the partnership use the data which is extracted and find the value in the insight which HR are developing. So if in case analytics is delivering something, they are utilizing, HR function is using them in improvising their functions. And when you're working as a consultant to the HR company, you have to understand the business you're working in. If you can understand the business problem, then you can help with your understanding of HR together with your understanding of all the data sets you have available. You can really help by extracting the right questions. If you have the right question, then the analysis you are going to complete will be meaningful as well as insightful. Now, moving from descriptive reporting towards correlation analysis, there are numerous examples where the HR reporting and analytics team have partnered with HR function and provided insights that have helped to develop more impactful HR process and deliver greater outcomes in the business. As with many organizations, it is the engagement data with which the majority of HR insights is created. Developing further insights beyond standard survey output has meant that CCE or Coca-Cola has begun to increase the level of insights developed through methods, and by using longitudinal data, they have started to track sentiment in the organization. Tracking sentiment actually helped in improvising the HR function, because they were able to understand that what is the correlation between too many dropouts and then low satisfaction ratio, too much attrition versus lower promotion ratios. So they can easily identify such relationship and can create an information or insight basis these relationship, that this is what is happening and this is the reason for this thing to happen. There have definitely been a number of examples where we are starting to share insights that are being acted upon. One example is the engagement survey that is run every couple of years. Within the survey, there are three questions related to communication. The business was keen to understand that there was a correlation between how an employee scores a manager in terms of communication and key performance indicators across their site. They demonstrated that across all their sites, there was a positive correlation between leaders' communication and business outcomes. If leaders are communicating well, the outcome is positive, and if leaders are not communicating well, then the outcome is actually getting impacted. That is great, but it is not implying causation. There is something there to explore further. So good communication causes better business performance. That is understandable, and that is understood in HR component, that this is what happens. If business, if communication is not right, the outcome will never be right. This is the major insight that they derived when they introduced such concepts in the HR analytics, when Coca-Cola introduced such concepts in the analytics function of their industry. Now, CCE analytics team, one of the most important next step was to share the experience and knowledge gained from developing the analytics function with their colleagues and build capability across HR. They were also reviewing the learning and development curriculum for HR, and there also analytics team could help because they could see what skills and competencies is needed to build. One of the competencies that they have introduced in HR professional being data analyzer, because if a HR person can't analyze the data or can't see the right form of data or can't quickly understand the data, they will not be able to utilize the data properly. So it is not only understanding a spreadsheet or how to do a pivot, it is more understanding that what a ratio is. If attrition to promotion has a ratio, what does that mean? So these, if they understand such relationship, if HR function understand such relationship, they will be able to understand the effectiveness of such measurable tools. The data can really help them in quest to find the intervention that is going to add value to shape business outcomes. So when there are positives, there are barriers as well. That is what happened with Coca-Cola as well. They had a huge number of barriers that they faced, and those barriers included the technologies, because they were thinking about automating most of the stuff, automating the static reports, and those static reports were needed to automate it, there were right amount of technological tools which were needed, and some of the tools doesn't fits with all. And so if in case they need a more profound tool which can take care of various type of reports, which can take care of various type of platforms and then collect the data and then create an automated report, it was difficult to find. So this was one of the barriers. The other barriers were finding the right people to work on the analytics team, which can actually effectively work on the business scenarios or business outcomes that are needed, and right amount of analysis to be performed. Because if a team is not effective and if they don't have a right team to perform those actions, the outcome will not be as effective as is required in those scenarios. And that is where the right team is required. They also had the recruitment challenges of when they were hiring the people. So when we are talking about 2010, analytics was still in the booming industry, and when they were trying to hire the people, they didn't know that what are the capabilities that they should look for, because during that time it was a major challenge to identify that who will be the right person for their analytics team, because analytics as a course was not present anywhere, and people were getting into the analytics. People from the mathematics, people from the statistics, people from the computer science were coming into the industry, and everybody was not aware of everything. So if somebody is a math people, he might not be very good with the coding stuff. So such challenges do happens. So they also faced a huge amount of challenges with respect to the hiring of such workforce. So Coca-Cola Enterprise realized that how analytics can contribute in their HR functioning and how they can utilize them in decision making, how it can improve the effectiveness of the workforce, how they can hire the right workforce, and all those things. Basis the future and what they were seeing as a future with respect to the HR functioning, what they realized is that this is not the end of the world. They also need to go ahead and what was there in the future time period. So when we are talking about the 2010 time period, the predictive analytics was still in the transformation phase, still in the development phase, and was still not that popular. So they realized that if they can predict the things and can identify the right predicting technique and right amount of talent which can do or adopt the right predictive methods, they can still get more out of the HR function that they have, because it can help them in various ways, like who will be the most appropriate person for their respective team, that they can identify using the predictive methods. Who is more likely to get promoted, who is more likely to be more effective in future, all these things can be identified via predictive analytics algorithms. And if they realize that if in case they have a right workforce who can apply these techniques on the data that they have, on the workforce information that they have, they will be able to take more profound decision with respect to the HR workforce. So there are various ways it could have been matured, there are various ways it could have been developed, and they kept on improvising, they kept on introducing more and more stuff, they kept on removing the anomalies, they kept on removing the things which were taking away a lot of time, they kept on automating stuff. Because of all these activities, their improvement actually helped them in improvising their HR function in a much, much effective way. So when we are talking about descriptive analysis and the role of descriptive analysis in future of data analysis, we should understand that descriptive analysis is not the end of any analysis. It will move further away from predictive analytics and will take the business towards prescriptive analytics. Now, predictive analytics will not be the end, that this person will come, but it should also be able to guide that when and how this customer will come. So if in case we say that there are 10 customers which are likely to come, the prescriptive analytics will say that these 10% will only come when you offer them a 10% discount on a particular commodity or a particular product. This is a prescription form of analytics and gives a powerful hand to the business stakeholder, that because they know that what is the right action that they should perform to drive the business, to make the business stronger, to make the business profitable. The future of data analytics lies in accurately predicting what might happen in the future and will continue to evolve into prescriptive analytics, to creating a mashup of predictions, simulations and optimizations. Now, to summarize what we learned in this session and what we learned in this topic, we seek to provide a depiction of summary view of facts and figures in an understandable format, because then only a business stakeholder will be able to understand that what exactly is happening in the business. It uses two primary techniques, data aggregation and data mining. It presents past data in an easy digestible format, so that it can easily be understood and business decisions could be performed basis that. Some common methods employed in descriptive analytics are observations, case studies, surveys, and many more. There are few tools which are available with respect to descriptive analytics, certain statistical tool like measures of central tendency, which is comprises of mean, median and mode, measures of dispersions, which comprises of variance and standard deviation and range, and measures of probability, which defines the confidence intervals. Collection and interpretation of large amount of data may be involved in this type of analytics. These are the things that we learned in the description form descriptive analytics, and we realized that it is the first hand of the analytics. It gives you a good start and you can take it to any step further, and it will give you a lot of information right away. Because if you have a proper format of data aggregated, it will give the lot of information to the business stakeholders, and then they will be able to understand that what are the action areas, which are the weaker areas, which are the areas which are very, very good with respect to their business, and what are the areas that they can change. So all these things we learned, and all these things were being contributed by descriptive analytics. I hope you learned a lot today. I hope you had a good grasp of the topic now. Keep learning. Thank you very much.